This is WSBT South Bend, the sports leader. This is the Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley.
Oh, yeah!
On 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader.
What is this?
We're talking Notre Dame football, the NFL, the Cubs, and more.
Oh, yeah, I like this idea.
The Leprechaun Lunch.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
With Sean Stiers.
All you do is dribble.
I have to dribble. If I give it to you, you just shoot.
And Evan Sharpley.
You're a chucker. You chuck.
If it's happening in sports.
Fumble!
We're talking about it.
Flag on the play.
Now your hosts. Sean Stiers and former Irish quarterback. Evan Sharpley.
Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley. Glad to have you with us on this beautiful looking Friday in and around South Bend, Mishawaka, Michiana. Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley is presented by Bud Light Seltzer, light and refreshing with four fruit flavors, mango, strawberry, lemon lime, and black cherry, and just 100 calories as well. 2 grams of carbs and less than a gram of sugar. It is Bud Light Seltzer. I'm Sean Stiers, and former Notre Dame quarterback and baseball player Evan Sharpley at the other end as we continue our radio quarantines, coming to you from our homes. How are you today, Mr. Sharpley?
Well, Sean, Lucy woke up this morning at about 5:30, 6 o'clock, so I've played Legos, I've done Dollhouse, we've watched the show Llama Llama, we've done some chase game, we've got quite a bit in so far. It's been a good day. I think I'm going to be ready probably for a nap after this show, though.
That's a week for a lot of people.
Well, right now my it kind of feels like I'm living Groundhog Day, because
right.
I'm a creature of habit, but so you know, so is my daughter. So when she's up, you know, I usually wake up to hearing her in the monitor saying the sun is peaking, and then she goes, I want to go downstairs, and we're off and running. You know, and she's go 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 until nap, and then she's go 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 until bed.
Yeah, man, I can only imagine. I saw where with everything that's going on, video game sales around the world are just breaking records left and right with people stuck at home. There was a thing that said, industry analysts say video games provide safe entertainment for people under stay-at-home orders, give them a way to stay in touch with friends as well. And that's the thing, like when I was growing up, the old school Atari and Nintendo and that kind of stuff, it was pretty much you could play with your friend or solo, but now, of course, everything is online, so you can connect with friends and people all around the country with your video game stuff.
Yeah, just grab a Bluetooth headset and you can even talk some smack to your friends.
There it is. There it is. And I would think that, you know, the whole gaming, the gaming competition, I haven't really seen much that's going on with that, but I would think a lot of that stuff could still take place and maybe even that becomes a little bit more popular. I haven't really heard of that aspect of things taking off, but of course, the streaming services are also doing pretty well, and we're going to talk later in the show about a particular show that has become the rage here in the last couple of weeks. Tiger King. I completed Tiger King over the weekend, and I actually got my wife to watch it with me, and my head has kind of stopped spinning, but there was so much in that, and we're going to get to a lot of that a little bit later.
In one word, can you describe it? You need more than one word, don't you?
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to think of what that one word.
It's left you speechless.
Dysfunctional, I guess, would be the best I could come up with. Well, a lot of different stuff that we're going to get to, of course, over the course of this show. Biggest news in the past 24 hours, probably. Governors in both Indiana and Michigan officially ended in-person classes for K-12. So the school year is shut down, and unfortunately, that also meant that yesterday afternoon, the IHSAA canceled all spring sports in Indiana. So the 2019-2020 high school sports season is now officially finished. And obviously very sad for, you know, especially for the seniors, but everybody who participates in spring sports, that they weren't able to get any of their you know, whether it's baseball, softball, track and field, any of that, none of it was able to get in this spring.
Yeah, it's a bummer. You know, you feel for the seniors that are graduating, but I know a lot of schools and players were holding out some hope, but the writing kind of seemed to be on the wall. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a tough situation, and I'm betting that a lot of the seniors, especially those that maybe aren't playing at the next level, will go through a period of grieving. But it's just, yeah, it's you feel for them, but you know, obviously there's quite a few people that are going to be dealing, and they're going to be in the same boat.
Right. Exactly. Want to make sure that everyone knows, as the coronavirus situation unfolds, we here at 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader, understand and appreciate the concerns you and your families may be facing during these challenging and uncertain times. However, it is input from listeners like you that help us better understand how you're feeling and how we can better serve you as well. We would greatly appreciate it if you would take a few minutes of your time to participate in our survey on the coronavirus situation. Your responses will be kept completely confidential. There is no personally identifiable information collected. All you have to do is go to WSBTradio.com, click on the How Can We Help banner, and the survey will take about 8 to 10 minutes of your time. And again, we appreciate you listening to the station and helping us better understand the coronavirus situation and the impact it's having. So again, we would appreciate it. Just head to WSBTradio.com and fill that out. Want to also mention, we will have a couple guests of local interest coming up tonight on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat in the 5 o'clock hour. Tim Firestone, the owner of Blackthorn Golf Course, is going to discuss safety precautions being taken with the course open. And also, South Bend Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Jeff Ray is going to talk about the local economic impact of a lot of events, sporting events and otherwise, not able to take place as this coronavirus situation has unfolded. Evan, I wanted to try to get to a couple lighter questions before we get going today. We've got a lot of stuff, and kind of varies in different degrees, but I wanted to start off with something a little bit lighter. Darren and I did something similar to this earlier in the week. So you played two different sports at Notre Dame. So my question to you, since we're all quarantined, you talked about, you know, your daughter waking up at 5:30 and getting things going this morning. If you had to be quarantined with one of your former Notre Dame football teammates, who would it be?
Okay, you ready for this one? This one's gonna be way out there.
I'm interested to see.
It's David Wolke. All right.
Hey.
David transferred to Western Kentucky, would have been after my freshman year, but he was one of my closest friends on the team. And he was a country boy from Tennessee, and we just really hit it off. He liked playing video games, and I'd come and hang out. And he also had a candy apple car, and he drove stick. And driving with him was he was pulling like stunt stuff. You know, he'd pull the e-brake to park. Uh-huh. And kind of slide into parking spots. But he was one of my closest friends. I was real bummed when he left. It's not like a popular answer, but, you know, he was one of the dudes that I actually got along with. But, you know, when you're with 100-plus guys every single day, some of us, when we would leave, it'd be like, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. I don't need any more of you throughout the day.
Right.
And one of those guys, and I love him. I love him to death. He was in my recruiting class, but Pat Koontz. Uh-huh. And speaking of like waking up at 5:30 in the morning, if that dude woke up at 3 in the morning, he was like still amped and ready to go.
Oh my gosh.
And we'd walk in, you know, to the Goog for 5 a.m. workouts, and Pat's like blasting music and getting in people's faces. And you're like just about to punch this man in his face because it's like, dude, just let me wake up, right?
Right.
So for me, probably David Wolke. Just, you know, he was one of my good buddies on the team, and, you know, we got along really well.
All right. Since you played baseball as well, which baseball teammate would you want to be quarantined
well,
with?
You know, obviously you'll have a little background on this and understand it maybe a little more than the population, but AJ Pollock and Eric Most, it'd be the two of them. All right. AJ was my roommate quite a bit on the road when we played, and obviously, you know, he's been in the big leagues now for a long time. And Eric Most, you know, he hits both. He was a football guy, he's a punter, right, and also a pitcher on the team. But between AJ and Eric and a couple other guys, guys too. You know, Evan Danielli was usually in the cast of characters, but you know, Eric would put it together, and AJ too. Funny, and this was maybe before, like, you know, viral YouTube videos were big, and we probably didn't post it on there, but making fun of coaches and like doing a preseason video on impressions, and then on the bus too. I mean, Eric would call you know, different guys on the team, whether it was me or AJ or like Jeremy Barnes, and we'd give them phone numbers of like our friends that were still in high school, and Eric would call as the recruiter for like Northeast West Central State College and talk about offering these guys scholarships, like, you know, send me your highlight videos and transcripts. Went as far as to like create a fake email account, and nothing was off the table with Eric, and AJ usually was kind of prodding him along on it too. So those two dudes, I'll tell you what, like being cooped up with them would be pretty hilarious in quarantine to kind of figure out, like, because they're both super high energy guys. Like, you know, AJ and Eric can't sit still,
right?
So they always had to kind of be doing something. So I'd be real interested to see, you know, what they're cooking up with right now to kind of stay sane while they're in quarantine.
And I'm thinking one of those videos, at least one of those videos, made an appearance on the bus on a road trip at one time. Does that sound familiar?
It did. You know, you can only watch so many videos.
Uh-huh.
And I think at that time, Graham Sykes, who's an assistant coach at Michigan State now, he was in charge of the movies that we watched. And I'll just say this. A lot of them were classics, but kind of like maybe classics that you wouldn't think of like right off the bat. I think we watched Turn Hooch like 8 times. You know, and so
and Sykes loved it. Sykes would probably watch it 30 times.
I think he was the only one that was awake while that was going on, right? But we talked him into letting us watch. So, you know, of course, the guys went hard in on Shrag and Lawler too, because Lawler had a lot of like kind of quirky funny mannerisms. it made an appearance. I can't remember when, if it was in preseason or maybe once we were dwindling towards the end of the year, but it was it was pretty funny.
All right, a lot of good stuff right there. So AJ Pollock and Eric Most from the Notre Dame baseball team, and David Wolke from the football team. And then, like you said, Most was a two-sport guy. He was a punter for the football team for a few years and also a pitcher for the baseball team. So you were around him quite a bit. So good stuff. All right, last one. People are sending Joe Buck home videos of their quarantines for him to do play-by-play. So if you could pick one play-by-play guy and one analyst to announce your quarantine, who would they be, Evan Sharpley?
Okay. I'm going to go Frank Caliendo as John Madden, announcing my life on a day-by-day basis.
I like that.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. I don't know who the analyst would be. I mean, I guess, you know, with how well Tony Romo's done recently, it seems he has a crystal ball into what is about to happen next.
Exactly.
Maybe we'd have Frank Caliendo as John Madden, okay, doing impersonations, but we'd have Tony Romo actually then predicting what may happen next in my day.
See, and that's, I picked him as well, because like when I get up in the morning, it's okay, what t-shirt am I going to put on today? You know,
Tony would know
all that stuff. You know?
He would
kind of be the angel on my shoulder telling me what to do.
I started watching Brockmire yesterday. Have you seen that show?
I have. Have you ever seen any of it before you started watching it? So you just started the series yesterday.
Yes.
Okay, because it's on it's on season 4, and it's going to be the final season. And I've been pretty disappointed so far. But those first two seasons are gold.
It's so nuts.
Yes.
He's got a great voice for it too. So I'd be okay with that, with him announcing.
So go with, that's a pretty good one. I didn't think about a fictional guy, Jim Brockmire, played by Hank Azaria, who also does a lot of the voices on The Simpsons, would be that. That's a pretty good one right there. That would keep it very entertaining.
Final answer right there.
I think that's you pretty much nailed it. So Jim Brockmire and Frank Caliendo, that's a pretty good tandem right there.
It's a great tandem right there.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. There's some stuff going on in Chicago Bears land. We're going to save that for the second segment today. We're also going to hear from Trevor Bauer, the Cincinnati Reds pitcher. He did an interview with Jeff Passan from ESPN. We'll hear some of that in the second segment today. A lot of different thoughts on both the current situation, what might be happening going forward. We'll get into some of that with the second segment of our show. But right now, of course, Brian Kelly was on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat this week. Had you heard about that interview, Kevin?
Well, when I opened up Twitter, I heard about it.
Yeah, exactly. So he was on with Darren Pritchett and Eric Hansen this week. And, of course, one of his comments caused quite a stir. Brian Kelly kind of took exception with what Kirk Herbstreit from ESPN said, that when he said he'd be shocked if college football is played this season. So the interview starts with Darren asking Brian Kelly what his message would be to Notre Dame fans who want to see college football played this season. And it sort of segues into the Herbstreit comment. So here is Brian Kelly's full answer to that, starting with his message to Notre Dame fans.
Well, stay positive. I mean, you know, we have a choice. We can be negative and think of, a lot of things that could go wrong, or we can be positive. I've always chosen to think in the most positive terms that we're going to have this pandemic under control to where we can resume in some sort of normalcy where we can play college football in the fall. So look, if anybody can really predict what's going to happen next week, they should be in the stock market. I heard Kurt Herbstreit come out last week and say, no way. I mean, Kurt does not know what he's talking about. I mean, really, you know, for him to, you know, talk in those terms, he's not a scientist. He's a college football analyst. So we'll let the scientists determine those things. We'll prepare and know what we need to do and put things in place, knowing full well that we'll need some preparation time. But we're going to stay positive and prepare as if we're going to have a season in the fall.
All right, so there are Brian Kelly's comments. Starts off, be positive, think positive, and, you know, we were talking about Tony Romo being Mr. Fortune Teller and Brian Kelly essentially saying Kirk Herbstreit is not. So your thoughts on what you heard there from Brian Kelly?
Well, first, Sean, I think when I opened up Twitter, and it was almost like there was blame being placed on the Budweiser Weekday Sports Beat crew for bringing it up. But the context obviously is that Brian Kelly brought it up. It wasn't that you guys were trying to search for that answer.
Totally unprompted. That's right.
So, and I think for some of the negativity, actually, you know, it came from, you know, we're sold out of toilet paper. We don't have any hand sanitizer, at this point. And, you know, to go out on a limb here and say that there's not going to be football now, too, is we don't know.
Right.
So it seems like, among other things, with the toilet paper and the hand sanitizer out, everyone's out of their chill pills, too. we're all in self-quarantined. So I got to think that the fuse is probably a little bit short. But come on. I mean, my goodness, you know, neither guy knows. You know, both are simply giving an opinion. So we don't know who's to say is right now. Certainly, you know, everyone wants to be positive and stay positive, but could you know, Kirk Herbstreit be right? He could be right. We don't know. But you know, Brian Kelly, to his point, is true. You know, Kirk isn't a scientist. He doesn't really know. So, you know, I think time will certainly tell. I don't know why there was so much, you know, negative feedback with the whole thing. You know, both guys are just giving their opinion.
No, and that's exactly right. And any of us who, whether it's doing a talk show or covering teams, everyone is giving opinions about everything. I mean, not just this situation, but that's what we get paid to go on the air and do. And it's no different than Kirk Herbstreit. Now, you can say Brian Kelly isn't necessarily paid for his opinions. He's paid to coach football and all that. But at the same time, if Kirk Herbstreit, who is one of the preeminent voices in college football because of the platform he has both on ESPN's College Game Day as well as the lead analyst for ESPN's coverage of college football. He gets paid to give his opinion. So he is a polarizing figure. You know, there are plenty of people, regardless of what fan base you happen to be supporting, who don't necessarily, you know, appreciate all of Kirk Herbstreit's opinions, but he is paid to give his opinion. He's allowed to have his opinion. That is his opinion, and he was at least basing it on some of the scientific data that he saw. Well, you know, whether Brian Kelly, you know, Brian Kelly's right. He's not a scientist, but he was trying to base it on some of the information that he had. But that said, Brian Kelly is also entitled to his own opinion. I think a lot of this comes down to there is so much uncertainty and there is so much out of anyone's control right now. And you've got college football coaches, any college coach is used to having a lot of control over his environment and his players. But no one has control over this situation right now. You know, spring practice was canceled. Student athletes sent home to finish their classes, and they're also trying to get their workouts in and things like that online. So there's a lot of uncertainty, but we are still several months away from when the college football season is supposed to begin, and we are even a few months away from that July 1st marker that Brian Kelly had mentioned last week. So there's still a lot of time, and I don't think that, you know, Brian Kelly wanted to hear Kirk Herbstreit sort of trying to rain on his parade. You know, he's still trying to get his team ready for college football season.
Yeah, I mean, you that's what you have to do to weather the storm is stay positive. So
right,
you
know, right.
I mean, at this point, you don't want Debbie Downers, but it's a scenario that could take place. But yeah, you don't want your players thinking that we're not playing because they may then not prepare like they're playing.
Yeah, and I mean, again, back to what you were saying, when you've got the head coach at Notre Dame, Brian Kelly, who is himself polarizing just because he is the head coach at Notre Dame, and then, you know, you throw in just different layers to that, and you've got another polarizing guy, Kirk Herbstreit, and then you've got one of them directly quoted contradicting the other. You can see sort of that storm that it kicked up, especially when there is no sports going on right now. So it didn't take much for that to kind of get in the little maelstrom and just keep right on going after that. All right, Kelly discussed several other topics as well, including how they're using technology to communicate with players and track their workouts during this time. And I thought this might interest you. It was interesting to me, Evan. So let's hear what Brian Kelly had to say on that subject.
Yeah, we're using an app right now for our players that allows them to use their phones to actually complete their workouts and send them to us. So we get daily a full workout completed so we can track the progress of our players. So pretty handy from that standpoint. It's called Strength Builder, which allows us to implement the band workouts. We sent them three different resistance bands that allow them to do a full workout. If they have no availability to weight training, they complete this workout on their phone or their laptop or an iPad, and then they're able to send it back to us. We then have subsequent pod meetings with each one of our five strength coaches with a group of players to make sure that they're getting their workouts and whether they need to change the resistance on each one of them. So feel really good about the organization of that and how we've been able to do that from a technology standpoint, more so than a sports science standpoint. So I think we're leaning heavily on the technology here more than the sports science.
Relying on the technology rather than science. What do you think when you hear all that, Evan?
Well, I mean, this isn't a new concept for, you know, small box gyms. I mean, that's what we did at Sharply Training for years. You know, we had a software program where there'd be a workout posted at midnight And then people would have access to that for 24 hours. They could go back then and, you know, see old workouts too, but you'd be able to log in. You'd be able to, you know, if it was a workout, it was a strength workout, you could log the weight that you were doing. It'd have pre-programmed, you know, here's how many reps you're doing. Here's how many sets you're doing. Here are the different exercises. It could be a workout for time. You know, if you're trying to do it as fast as you can, that's something that you could log too. So certainly, you know, with where we are in the strength and conditioning world, there is a lot of reliance when it's in person on the actual, you know, measurements. You can see, you know, how fast guys are moving the bar in terms of velocity and force output. Not everyone's going to have access to that right now where they are, but you are able to at least keep them accountable. They are able to log their workouts. And then I think the feedback is important too on what Brian Kelly said is, you know, if there are changes that need to be made, you know, it needs to be heavier, it needs to be lighter, the sets need to change, you can do that. So it's, you know, it's, I'm sure some guys too are now like, man, we could, we probably could have went home for summer for a little bit longer if they could just check on us like this versus, you know, being in person. So, yeah,
it's not quite the same as having Bayless standing over and barking at you, I guess though, right?
That's true. Yeah. You don't get the in-person stuff, you know, the blood, sweat and tears with your teammates, but you know, for where we are, the climate that we're in, this is the best case scenario. Cause if you're call a couple weeks ago and you asked, you know, what do you lose out in the spring and potentially in the summer if, you know, if they don't report until, you know, July 1. And for me, it's been the strength and conditioning side, the speed side. And I read a unique article recently on some studies that were done on, you know, guys are able to hang on to a lot of their strength gains for about a month after stopping. It's the speed that deteriorates.
Huh.
So I'm interested, and we didn't get, you know, a lot of info really from Kelly on this, but what the speed portion looks like, you know, explosiveness, straight line speed, that usually goes away or deteriorates in about a week if you aren't training for it. So that, you know, and especially too, when you don't have or may not have access to a lot of equipment, you know, guys, we don't know what all 100 guys have access to. A lot of times it's honestly, it's easier because you don't maybe need as much equipment on the speed side to maintain that. So I'm sure that the coaches are doing their due diligence, and it sounds like, you know, they're meeting in their pods, you know, whether that's, you know, hopefully it's on Zoom to maintain that social distancing. You know, they're able to put together a program that is going to at least maintain right now at this point, so that, you know, when it does happen where they do report back, that they'll be able to hit the ground running.
Yeah, and one other thing a lot of different things that were hit. And if you missed that interview, of course, you can go to the Sports Beat app and listen to the Brian Kelly interview on demand. But one thing that Darren also asked Brian Kelly about was, you know, are they doing any football type stuff, X and O type stuff right now? And Brian Kelly said their main emphasis over these past couple of weeks with, you know, since spring break ended, has been the academic side, getting the, you know, the e-learning and the virtual classroom stuff going, as well as this stuff, the strength and conditioning type stuff. He did say that there's going to be some position type meetings and, you know, some other football type stuff coming up next week. So that's kind of next for them, but the biggest emphasis has been the academics, because now they're about a month away from when finals would be and all that kind of stuff, and trying to get that, you know, that strength and conditioning that we were talking about there going. So interesting stuff. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll let you hear the interview that ESPN's Jeff Passan, part of the interview ESPN's Jeff Passan had with Trevor Bauer. We have enjoyed some Trevor Bauer comments on this show over the weeks, so we'll get to some of that and some of our thoughts on that as well. Some Tiger King conversation, also some Chicago Bears news. There was a press conference going on over at Hallis Hall today, and we'll touch on some of that and more when we continue. Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley, presented by Bud Light Seltzer. 100 calories, 4 fruit flavors, 2 grams of carbs, and less than a gram of sugar. It is Bud Light Seltzer. Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley continues on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. We're presented by Bud Light Seltzer, light and refreshing with four fruit flavors, mango, strawberry, lemon, lime, and black cherry. It is Bud Light Seltzer. We continue. We've got a lot that we still want to get to over the next 27 minutes or so of this show. Real quickly, Evan, a press conference at Hallis Hall today. Bears general manager says the quarterback competition between Mitch Trubisky and Nick Foles is an open competition. Any surprise there?
You know how much I love open competitions. might as well. Why don't they just do a two quarterback system this year? I mean, would just be the next part of it. I don't know. I mean, my thought on it, I mean, is this high school? Is it college? You know, honestly, if you have an open competition, and I don't think the competition is bad, but if you don't feel like you have a clear cut guy right now, that's a red flag.
Well, and I mean, the fact that they brought in Nick Foles, I think, kind of speaks to the fact that they don't think that they have a clear cut number one. Even though I guess Matt Nagy, the head coach, said when we walk in on the first day, whenever it is, Mitch will be the first in the huddle. So, I mean, that kind of goes to what you're saying. Why do you have to make concessions for this guy if you're bringing in somebody else to compete with him? What does he even need to be the first guy in the huddle?
I don't know how many times situations like this turn out positive. Now, this may work out, but a lot of times if you're doing the open competition, I don't think that they'll do a two quarterback system, but you know, even if Trubisky wins the job, you know, you're probably going to be looking over your shoulder a little bit if you start playing like you did a year ago, you're probably going to get benched. Maybe that works for some guys, you know, others it doesn't, but I can't point to too many situations where it's like, this is a win for our team right now.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on that, but we'll have more on that later today as well on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. All right, Trevor Bauer is back. The outspoken Cincinnati Reds pitcher joined ESPN's Jeff Passan on a podcast this week. They talked about several different things. We're going to play part of that interview right now. We're going to let the interview play. And if Evan and I hear something we want to talk about at any point, we'll just say stop. And our producer in the studio, Jesse Hollis, will stop it for us. So right now, ESPN's Jeff Passan interviewing Trevor Bauer.
How realistic do you think the possibility of there being no baseball this year is?
I mean, I would put it in the teens, maybe, percentage-wise. I think baseball as a whole, as an industry, has long since been that kind of, obviously, America's pastime. But if you look at how, you know, 9/11 happened, and baseball was the first sport that got back and was kind of giving people an escape from some of the things that happened, and that's very much on the minds of everybody in the industry right now. Is let's get back and give people something to watch. Like we're the sport that's supposed to be going on right now. That's leading into, you know, we're the summer sport. We're the only one. So let's get back and play. So I think the chances of no baseball are pretty low. Now how much baseball and when I have no idea. But I think there will be some baseball.
What can baseball do if it's the first sport back to really take advantage of that?
Man, this is back to my rant about baseball industry in general. There's a huge opportunity here to have baseball be the only thing that people are watching, but you can't be the only thing people are watching if people can't watch your sport. So that's the first thing. Like, the first thing baseball needs to do is make sure that everybody can watch their product. That's tricky right now because of all the blackouts, paying for MLB TV, not being able to watch your hometown team. Maybe you don't have the cable provider that you need to have in LA, or, you know, Canada can't watch the Blue Jays now, or, you know, whatever the case, all these deals that have been struck that people can't watch the product.
Make it free. Like, make the first month of baseball completely free for the country to watch. Get them hooked.
Or just make it like, hey, download this free app and watch baseball all you want, but there's going to be ads on it. And there's going to be like whatever, you know, like there's other ways to make money without having to charge people for the product itself. Or you can charge them for the product itself, you know, but just make it accessible. I mean, there's tons of baseball fans that would pay $150 a year. That's less than $30 a month to watch baseball.
All right. Trevor kind of had a couple little hiccups there, a little delay. So I wasn't sure exactly when he was going to stop talking. But I think it's an interesting concept that he's talking about there, Evan, by making baseball more accessible. And I think, you know, they're already in a situation where they're going to lose a lot of money. I think it's important that, especially in the early going, with the prospect of no fans in the stands, that kind of along the lines of what he's saying, you've got all these different streaming services. Lift the blackouts on everything. Make everything at a very minimum accessible to anyone online. If it's the first month, make it free. I would even advocate making it free for an even more extended period of time, because just the economic situation that the country's in right now, there's not going to be a whole lot of expendable income. What do you think about all that?
Well, you know, like Bauer, I still, you know, the blackout, that whole conversation still just baffles me. You know, I think back to one of his funny comments on, you know, Steph Curry throws a bounce pass and it's trending on Twitter. When Mike Trout goes and robs a home run and you can't find the video because MLB will take it down if you record it and post it anywhere. So I think that this is just, you know, this is an extension of that conversation on how do you make it more accessible to a vast majority of people when you already know and the studies are done that the demographic that is the baseball's most popular with is a little bit of an older demographic. So if you're trying to grow the sport and grow the following and the brand, you know, how do you appeal to your 20 somethings and 30 somethings, and you know, where are they spending a lot of their time? They're spending a lot of their time on streaming services. They're spending a lot of time on Twitter. And if you're unable to connect in that way, you're probably not going to continue watching. So I like his thought on this, that the MLB has a unique opportunity, you know, even within this bad situation, with them likely being, you know, the sport of choice. You know, the NBA is going to be in there too. And if you're following along to, you know, what the NBA is doing, they've been, I think that they've done a really nice job even pre-COVID-19 on how they were, you know, including fans. You know, you look at what they did with their All-Star game this year, and a couple of the different packages that they're putting together where you're getting a little more access to, you know, if you want to just focus on one player while you're watching the game.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of ways that the MLB can look at what the NBA has done in making it more appealing. And if these two go head to head on, you know, when sports come back, my money right now is going to be on the NBA.
I agree.
Because I think that they're much more willing to listen to the consumer and expand their entire fan base. I don't think baseball right now is listening, and I don't think that they are doing a great job. Now, they may change their tune. They may be forced to change their tune. Sometimes exactly. Within these types of situations, you have to be more innovative to grow and to maintain your fan base. And if you're playing without fans in the stands, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to change your model somehow if you want to make sure that you're at least hanging on to the fans that you have and then trying to grow that. So I think it'd be a great idea. I like this idea of an app where you have access to everything. Why isn't that already a thing?
How is that not? They've Major League Baseball has apps. How do they not have that already? That's a great question.
I don't know. And you know, like, I mean, you're in Canada and can't watch the Blue Jays. I mean, how ripe is that? You know, it's hilarious. You know, right. you should be able to go a one-stop shop where you have access to everything. And I agree with him. You know, even if you do put a price tag on it for $150, but you're like, I get access to every game. Yeah. You know, you're diehard MLB fans. Sign me up. I won't think about it. You're going to renew my contract at the beginning of, you know, spring training next year, and I'll probably tune in and watch it again and pay. Or, you know, the idea of having ads. How many streaming services do you sit there and watch an ad? If you watch live TV, you watch ads.
Yeah.
You're going to tell me that if I can watch every baseball game, or at least, you know, my favorite team, and I'm going to have to watch, you know, 5-30-second ads in between a commercial, I'm good with that.
You can live with that. Yeah, exactly. Like you said, we've got to do it if we're watching TV and listening to the radio. Anyway, so why not? All right, let's continue. We've got a chance to hear one or two more comments from Trevor Bauer.
They'd be able to watch their favorite team, but they're not going to pay $150 a year if they can't watch their favorite team on the stupid app. So that's one thing. Make sure that people can watch your product. Another thing is to get your product out on social media a lot. You know, stream games live on the internet. Put some VR cameras in the dugout. Get creative with the media strategies to try to engage different demographics of fans age wise. That's another thing they can do.
What do you think of the game in 2020?
I think the game is awesome. I think the game is the most, the fastest, most athletic, most talented game that we've ever had. Think about the athletes that we have right now. Think about like how hard the pitchers are throwing, how nasty their stuff is, and how the hitters are, you know, the spikes and home runs and ability to do damage, and how fast the game is and on defense and all that. Like, if you put a player from the best player from 2000 in today's game, he's probably an average player. But as far as just the skill set, if you just transplanted today or whenever there's baseball, if you just took 2000 Barry Bonds and you put him in 2020, he gets absolutely chewed up. And that's the case with hitters too, or pitchers or fielders or whatever the case is. People are just so much more capable and so much more able today, training-wise too. I mean, training is ridiculously advanced baseball-wise compared to where it was in 2000. But it's still super behind what it could be. I think the game's great.
Stop. All right, Evan, I'll give you the last chance. If you put 2,000 Barry Bonds in 2020 Major League Baseball, does he get chewed up like Trevor Bauer says?
There's no chance he gets chewed up.
I think he's a prototype for the game of today.
I think he is, too.
With the eye that he has.
I mean, he was ahead of his time on that, and then you toss in, I mean, he probably shouldn't have used the 2000 era. maybe if he says...
Go back to at least 1990.
Let's say 1980, early 1990s. That'd probably be a little bit better. And then also picking Barry Bonds, also probably not a great pick.
Right.
You know, I think what he's saying, you know, what he's saying is, let's just put Barry Bonds from 2000, not a Barry Bonds from 2000 who, you know, has access to what players are having access to now as far as training. Uh-huh. But he is right. I mean, overall, you know, the amount of guys throwing 95 plus, you know, with and doing a great job of tunneling and moving pitches, you know, from different sides of the plate, I think it would be an adjustment for Barry Bonds. I wouldn't say he's going to get chewed up. I think he's, you know, ultimately one of the best hitters of all time, so he would adjust, and I think that he would have a lot of success. But would it be tough for him? I think it'd be a lot harder. You know, I think you've seen average fastball velocity go up in, you know, 20 years. So that would be an adjustment. And even the off-speed stuff is going to be harder as well. So I get what he's saying. I don't think you should have picked on a guy like Barry Bonds. But to reiterate what he said, and I don't want this to get lost in the shuffle, is he's right. I mean, you look at the athletes that are playing. I mean, you look at the product that's out there. it is ripe for the marketing side. You know, there's a lot of great personalities. There's a lot of great talent.
Agree.
But now it's how do you go out there and market the game? How do you get them more interactive on social media where they can connect with fans and you can learn more about them and understand the other facets of, you know, maybe what makes these guys tick, I think would do and would help quite a bit in building the brand. So with that, you know, I think he's really hitting the nail on the head.
Yep. All right, that's all we're going to have time for. We're going to have to take a timeout. When we come back, what have you been watching during your quarantine? Have you been streaming a lot of shows? Well, Tiger King is the big hit of the quarantine, and we will talk about that Netflix, I don't know, documentary, reality show. I don't even know what you would title it. But
it's not real. It's fake.
Yeah, we'll share some of our thoughts on that when we come back and whatever else we have time for. Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sherpley, presented by Bud Light Seltzer, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sherpley, presented by Bud Light Seltzer, 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. Into the home stretch of our show today. Don't forget Budweiser's weekday sports beat, 5 to 7 tonight here on 96.1 WSBT, the sports leader. All right, Evan. Tiger King.
Yep. Can't be real, can it? Can't be real.
The Odyssey of Joe Exotic. How can this be real?
What I can't believe is, you know, if you watch, if you think about Joe Exotic, he's so off the wall. I don't think you could find a collection of more people that you didn't believe were real. Starting from him all the way down to the guy who was running the documentary. He's probably the most normal.
The guy who was running this?
Sorry.
One,
or? No, not this. Not the specific Tiger King one. The guy who was on site.
The one who
filming.
Was going to. Yeah.
Yes.
And then apparently he, you know, because this shed burns down with all these, you know, videos and footage. And, you know, that was going to be used for a reality show that he's working on. It burns down. He moves to Dallas. Apparently, his house burns down a couple months later. Now he's living in Norway. So, I mean, it's like each of these, every person almost in this series, and it was, what, 7 episodes, almost every person could have had their own 4 to 5 part done on them. There was so much going on in this thing.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And I mean, you could go on YouTube, you know, you got the Joe Exotic TV station.
Yeah.
You can watch all those.
And if you haven't seen it,
I just,
for those who haven't seen it, Tiger King is about these people. Joe Exotic is the main character. And it's about these people who own big game animals, predominantly tigers. But so Joe has his own zoo, or he had his own zoo down in Oklahoma. And I don't want to do too many spoilers, but I will ask you this. Carol Baskin, did she?
I mean, I'm gonna say she knows more than she lets on. She has
she
to.
She has to.
There's and I saw in Florida they're like reopening the case and asking for tips.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, the sheriff is getting all kinds of tips coming in.
Yeah,
about her.
So that's going on. Of course, you have Shaq coming out and saying that he's not friends with Joe Exotic. That he, and then there's now video evidence of Doc Antle. He was the he was holding the tiger on Britney Spears for her VMA performance.
Oh, okay.
When there was a tiger on the stage, and apparently then Carol Baskin was sitting next to or two seats down or a seat down from Britney Spears at one of the events.
Oh, so she it's had just, no problem with that.
I don't know if she didn't have any problem or that she. Well, I don't know what she was doing there, but and to take this even one step further, I was like, you know, surfing on Facebook yesterday, and Old Style Deli here in Elkhart. You know, there's a app called Cameo where you can pay celebrities to, you know, promote your brand.
Uh-huh.
Jeff Lowe, the new owner of you know, Joe Exotic's zoo,
place in Oklahoma. Yeah,
yeah. He did a cameo for Old Style Deli in Elkhart, Indiana. Look it up. It's hilarious. With his wife.
Wow. Is there one sympathetic figure in this whole show?
I don't know. I say Saf, the
girl
the
who
worker.
Had her,
yeah, the girl who had her arm bitten off. And by the way, you can't find a better worker. You get your arm bit off on Monday and you're back to work on Friday.
I know. She's like, I didn't want too much negative publicity for Joe. So I came back to work 5 days after getting my arm ripped off by a tiger.
What a trooper.
I'll say the one thing that I'll give Joe Exotic is, even though they had cameras running for all of this different stuff, which is amazing how much footage they had on everything. The one thing I will say, he did get that tourniquet on her arm pretty quickly, you know, before.
Yeah, I think it was because, you know, he had the wherewithal to go find a paramedic's jacket.
Well, that's true, paramedic's too. He did have to put the paramedic's jacket on first.
Unbelievable.
Before he puts the tourniquet on. Was there anything that you found most shocking from the whole thing?
Well, no, but I love that he ran for president and then governor, and that 20% of the people in Oklahoma showed out and actually voted for him. 20%.
I know.
Unbelievable.
And again,
I'm not shocked. I'm shocked by the whole thing. There isn't like one thing that I'm like, as you keep watching, you're like, this can't be true. It's not, this isn't real. You know, it was like an April Fool's joke, but it wasn't.
It shocks me that this whole culture exists, this subset of big game owners in the United States, you know, and he had like, what was it? A couple hundred.
Well, there's more tigers in the U.S. privately owned than there are in the wild in the world.
Wow. Which is amazing right there. And, you know, again, if you have Netflix and you haven't watched Tiger King, do yourself a favor. It lives up to the hype. I found that at least it probably could have been done in maybe four episodes as opposed to seven, but I was definitely hooked with, you know, the tease at the end of episode two, and then episode three is essentially all about Carole Baskin and that whole thing.
Well, they're saying that there may be more episodes now coming out, so.
All right, got to wrap things up. Good time as always, Evan. Thanks again, and talk to you next week.
All right, see you later.
All right, and for our studio engineer, Jess Hollis, as well. Sean Steyer's Leprechaun Lunch with Sean and Sharpley, presented by Bud Light Seltzer, light and refreshing with four fruit flavors, just 100 calories. WSBT South Bend.